But I am a preacher who is convinced that the coming of the Lord is very, very near. And quite frankly, I think we're going to see a great falling away from the faith. As a matter of fact, we're already seeing it. Tonight I'm going to show you something in Scripture that I think you'll find very, very interesting. So if you're interested, I hope you'll be here tonight, because it has to do with the Antichrist. It has to do with two different spirits in the world, and it is directly related to the great falling away that must occur before the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, I'm going to be dealing primarily with the two witnesses. I have been. This is about the two witnesses. And we're going to be talking about God's dealings with cities, peoples, and the world. In Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the Lord establishes in these two verses, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, this same pattern that he has used consistently with cities, peoples, and the world. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." He indicated that before a terrible event came upon the earth, the dreadful day of the Lord, he would send a messenger to warn them. He said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. For those who will receive it, for those who have spiritual ears to accept it," that was Elijah. But there is coming another prophet who will also warn Israel. They rejected John the Baptist. The Gentiles, by and large, received his testimony. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children." We're talking about a turning of the heart. Why do we have murders? Why are kids killing their classmates on school grounds? Why are we having such lasciviousness? Why are we having an outbreak of homosexuality like we have never had before? Why are we having lesbianism? Why is all this ungodliness blossoming and filling out like a gigantic magnolia flower? It is because the hearts of men and women are not turned toward God. And that is the reason our society has degenerated to the extent that it has. He said, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers." And then he tells them something that will not happen if the message is received and their hearts are turned. He says, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Here's the biblical pattern that you will find consistent in God dealing with cities, peoples, and the world. Here's the biblical pattern. First, send a witness or witnesses to warn of judgment. Second, if they repent by turning their hearts to God for forgiveness, there is no judgment. Third, if they do not exercise heart repentance toward God, judgment follows. First, send a witness or witnesses to warn of judgment. Second, if they repent by turning their hearts to God for forgiveness, there is no judgment. Third, if they do not exercise heart repentance toward God, judgment follows. You'll find that a very consistent pattern throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a look at some of those patterns in the Bible. For those of you that are listening on tape, we've got four columns. At the top of the first column, it says witness or witnesses. Second column is warning too. The third column is repentance, yes or no. And the fourth column is judgment, yes or no. So here are your examples. Noah was a witness who gave a warning to the world. There was no repentance, and yes, there was judgment. Lot was a man who, even though himself probably should never have been in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible indicates in the New Testament that he was, at least by his lifestyle, a witness to them. There was a warning issued by Lot's life and by two angels to two cities. There was no repentance and there was judgment. Noah warned the world. There was no repentance. Judgment came and there was a flood. Lot warned the two cities. There was no repentance, and they were destroyed by fire and brimstone. That is the pattern you will find consistent throughout the Old Testament. Jonah. Jonah was sent by God to warn Nineveh. In this particular case, the city of Nineveh repented, and there was no judgment. John and Jesus came to the Jews. Remember, the Lord said that he was not sent to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. They came with a message to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. They warned the Jews. Only a handful received it. There were only about 120 assembled on the day of Pentecost when the church that Jesus had organized during his earthly ministry was empowered. So by and large, the Jewish nation rejected Jesus. The witnesses were John and Jesus. They both preached the same message, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was a warning to the Jews. There was no repentance, and there was judgment. The whole nation of Israel was carried into captivity after AD 70 and 115. After AD 70, Titus came in, carried them into captivity, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and Hadrian completed the job in 115 AD, and the nation of Israel was dispersed. So there was no repentance by the nation, no repentance by the Jews, and there was judgment. The nation of Israel was dispersed all over the world and scattered, and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. What about the witnesses? Jesus' church. Jesus' church is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God indwells each one of his true churches. God turned to the Gentiles. He warned the Gentiles with the same message that he had warned Israel, that a kingdom was coming and a judgment was coming if hearts would not turn and hearts would not repent. By and large, at the initial receipt of the message, the Gentiles repented. That isn't true today. They're turning back the other way. The message is being rejected. But by and large, the witness of the Holy Spirit through Jesus' first church and the churches that are his which have followed have been a warning to the Gentiles and Jews also, both Jew and Gentile. Has there been repentance? By and large among the Gentiles, yes. Has there been a judgment? No, not yet. But now, men's hearts are not repenting because most of the world today does not believe there is any such thing as a sinful condition. They do not believe that there is anything such as a man not having any righteousness. And if they do not believe that they have a sinful condition, and if they do not believe that they do not have any righteousness, there is nothing to repent of, and their hearts will not turn. They will not be transformed by the Lord. They will not be given a new heart. And they will not raise their children properly. And if their children are not born again, if their children are not saved, if they do not respond, then they will grow up to be the type of children that kill other children on a playground, that murder viciously one another, that follow cults and idolatry, that are full of lasciviousness, ungodliness, and covetousness. And that describes the condition of this world today. Judgment is coming. But the Lord has indicated that in the last days, he's going to send two witnesses. That's what we've been talking about. Some people believe that that's the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Well, certainly the two witnesses are going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and certainly they're going to preach the warning from the Bible. So regardless of whether you believe they're two flesh and blood men, they're going to preach the message from the Bible. And they are going to be representing the same message the church has preached for 2,000 years. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But this time, there will be no repentance. The Bible indicates in Revelation, even though all these things came upon men, they did not repent. The message of the two witnesses will be a warning to the world of judgment to come. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The world will not receive it. There will be no repentance. And yes, there will be judgment. So you can see on this diagram a fairly consistent pattern. This nation is not repenting. The world is not repenting. And men's hearts are growing cold and indifferent. And instead of being turned by the good news of salvation in Christ and awaiting the kingdom of God and repenting, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, they are turning more and more away from God. Their hearts are growing cold, and judgment is coming. Revelation 11:3. I want you to notice, before we look at Revelation 11:3, God sent a witness to the world. He sent a witness to the Jews. He sent John and Jesus to the Jews. He said, "I will send you Elijah the prophet." The message was a message that was supposed to turn the heart. It did not. "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." The witness was John and Jesus. It was a warning to the Jews. There was no repentance and there was judgment. In the final days, in Revelation 11:3, he said, "And I will give power." The same spiritual power that flowed through John the Baptist will flow through these two witnesses. And they will testify, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they will warn of the judgment that is coming on this earth, which will be the most horrifying judgment that has ever occurred in all of history. There will never have been a time like it, and never will be a time like it again. He said, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. They will warn, and it will be a message of repentance. And they shall prophesy. That word means to preach, to proclaim, to put forward. 1,260 days, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. But they will be in existence long before that. And their message is a message that is clearly identified by these last three words, clothed in sackcloth. It is a message of repentance. Sackcloth typified people that had repented. They put ashes on them. They wore sackcloth, and it showed the world that their hearts had changed. They brought forth meat worthy of repentance. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are about to have a judgment on this earth. I've been doing these lectures now for 20 years. And I tell you that I have never seen anything like it in my life. When I first started, a few people would listen. They're not listening anymore. And some of you aren't listening anymore. It's like I tell you, but you don't have ears to hear. You have eyes to see. You have hearts to fear. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you want to know why I come over here and preach and teach? You know why I'm faithful here? I believe this. If a person believes this, he's going to be faithful. Because I tell you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and whatever you're going to do with your life for the life, you better do it now. The Revelation Overcomer is a church member who lives by faith, repenting to the message of God. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We are entering into a period of time into which it's going to be clearly demonstrated who is an overcomer, who is saved, and who isn't. Because I'll guarantee you, with the things that are coming up against God's true children and against God's true churches, only those who are true believers are going to remain faithful in God's church, and the rest are going to fall away. I showed you Malachi 4 and 5. Now, let's look at it again. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. There's your messenger. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, John came and he warned them of the wrath to come. He told them what was going to happen. He warned them. And the Pharisees and scribes came and wanted to be baptized. And he said, oh, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you of the wrath to come? He said, bring ye forth works worthy, meat worthy of repentance. Their hearts hadn't turned. You cannot bring forth meat that is of God until your heart has been turned. And they were coming to be baptized, and their hearts hadn't turned. Don't you dare enter into those baptismal waters unless you're saved. Because until God turns your heart, you've got no business in that water. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. This is the warning, Malachi 5:1. This was the warning of the wrath that was to come. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. He told the scribes and Pharisees, John the Baptist, who was Elijah, preaching in the spirit of Elijah, not Elijah reincarnated, not Elijah personally, not Elijah resurrected from the dead, but preaching by the same spirit that filled Elijah, and Elijah's message was a message of repentance. And John told the Pharisees, oh, ye generation of vipers, who has warned you of the wrath to come? He warned them of the wrath to come. That was the messenger. There was no repentance among the nation of Israel. The scribes and Pharisees dominated the religious scene. And because of that, there was judgment. And their city and nation was destroyed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the same thing is going to happen to this nation. The same thing is going to happen to this generation. Because by and large, people are now rejecting the message of God, and there is no heartfelt repentance because there is no need, they believe, because they think that everybody is born basically good. And instead of teaching their children they are sinful and need a Savior, they teach them how to exalt and excel in the world and be rich and famous and prosperous and grab for all the gusto you can get the first time around. They teach them just the opposite of what the Bible indicates they should be taught. Revelation 1:17. How do I know that John the Baptist was Elijah? He preached in the spirit of Elijah. He wasn't Elijah reincarnated. But in Luke 1:17 we are told, and he shall go before him. Speaking of John, he is John. He shall go before him. Him is Jesus Christ. John was the messenger, as Isaiah said, a voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And John came, and he preached in the spirit of Elijah. He went before Christ. He was born about 6 months before Christ. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. John the Baptist went forth before Jesus Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah. And for those who would receive his message, he was their spiritual Elijah. For those who would not receive it, he was not their Elijah. And we find in John 1:19 through 21, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Look at who these people are. They are the religious leaders of the world. They are the ones who did not receive the message. They are the ones who did not repent. They are the ones whose hearts were never turned. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Remember who's asking this question. A bunch of people that are religious men who do not believe John's message, and yet they are coming to him wanting to know who he is. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." He said, "I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the promised one." He was the one who came before him. He was the one whom God sent, as Isaiah said, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias? Art thou Elijah?" Now notice, he said, "I am not." Well, how could he be Elijah? He was not their Elijah. Because their Elijah, they would have believed his message. He was not Elijah personified in the flesh. He preached in the spirit and power of Elijah. They did not receive the message. They did not accept the spiritual testimony that he gave them. And so he was not their Elijah. He told them the truth. And for every unbeliever in the world who will not accept the magic, the actual wonderful power and be saved by the gospel of Christ, those people, he's not their Elijah either. "Art thou that prophet?" They asked him first if he was the Messiah. He said, "No, I'm not." They asked him if he was Elijah. He said, "No, I'm not." Then they asked him, "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." What prophet's he talking about? In Deuteronomy 18:15, I believe this is the prophet he's talking about. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." Moses speaking in Deuteronomy 18:15, giving a prediction of the coming Messiah. "The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." They thought this prophet that was coming was different from the Messiah. But the Messiah was that prophet of whom Moses spoke, and he spoke with the authority of God, and those who received his word were made spiritually alive, and those who rejected it remained spiritually dead. So he is speaking of the prophecy, I believe, when Moses talked about a prophet. John said, "I'm not the prophet, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah." Matthew 17, 10 through 13. We're now going to explain this difference. Why John said, "I'm not Elijah." He wasn't. But for those who would receive his spiritual message, he was their spiritual Elijah. If they did not receive it, he was not. And the Jews, the priests, the scribes, they did not receive it. Matthew 17, 10 through 13. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah shall come first and restore all things." He said, "That's true. Elijah is, just like Malachi indicated. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed." They chopped off his head. They killed him. He was a martyr. He died for his testimony. "Likewise also the Son of Man shall suffer of them." He was crucified. John was beheaded. Jesus was crucified. So John came and Jesus came. And the scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, they rejected his message. And because they would not repent ye and believe the kingdom of God, they were dispersed as a nation, destroyed as a nation. And their holy city of Jerusalem was leveled. Then the disciples, verse 13, Matthew 11:13-15, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So Jesus clearly identified Elijah as the one who came in the form and person of John the Baptist. Yet John said he was not Elijah. Now let's take a look at, we've been going through Matthew 17, 10 through 13. We're now going to take a look at Matthew 11, 13 through 15. For all the prophets in the law prophesied unto John. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 11, 13 through 15, about ready to explain why John said he wasn't and Jesus said he was. He said in verse 14, Matthew 11, 13 through 15, verse 14, and if, notice that's a big if, and if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He said, this is the one of whom Malachi spoke. This is Elijah that I was to be sent before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, he said, if you will receive it. What if you don't receive it spiritually? What if you don't believe the message of John? What if you don't believe he's that messenger? What if you don't believe that there is a judgment coming upon you? Then he is not your Elijah. And he told the scribes, he told the priest, he told all of them the truth. For those who believed that the kingdom of God was at hand and repented and turned to John's message that the Messiah and Savior of men's souls and the deliverer of Israel was at hand, he was their spiritual Elijah. Do you have ears to receive it? Do you have ears to believe it? Verse 15. He that hath. What if he doesn't have ears to hear? What if he doesn't want to hear? What if his ears are hardened over? What if his heart is hardened over? What if he doesn't want to turn? What if he has eyes to see that see not? What if he has ears to hear that hear not? What if he has a heart that does not want to turn? What does he? What happens if he does not have a heart that repents? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then he is not their Elijah. And those who did not believe him, God judged the Jews as a nation, and he dispersed them, and he destroyed their holy city. I tell you, this principle permeates throughout the entire Bible. And I tell you that the witness of God is already on this earth, that judgment is coming. The Holy Spirit was sent to judge men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And it is coming. Felix trembled. People aren't trembling today. People are sitting in church pews just like this. I'm standing up here telling the truth, and you're not trembling. Here it is. It's another Sunday. It's time to sit here and listen. And then you're going to go and do just what you want to do for the rest of the week. You're going to continue to follow your same opinions, your same ideas. You're not going to get dedicated toward the Lord. You're not going to change one whit. It's those other people out there that need to change. It's not you. It's not me. It's them that need to change. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if people really believed that this judgment was coming, if they knew how close it was, our churches would be filled with people repenting, but they aren't repenting. And church members have become lazy and slovenly, and they're interested in being fed, but they get fat and bloated and don't want to take what they've been fed and use it as an extension of their life to show a lost and dying world that Jesus is real. Revelation 11, 3 and 4. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. What about John? I will send you Elijah the prophet. What Luke 1:17, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. What about these two witnesses? Remember the chart we looked at? What happens first? He sends witnesses. Who empowers them? The Spirit of God. Revelation 11, 3 and 4. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Spiritual power. And they shall prophesy, preach, teach, proclaim, declare. 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, a message of repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the hearts of people in this country are dead. My own heart at times is waxed over. And some of your hearts are waxed over because you've heard this for so long that it's almost like it isn't real. It's almost like, well, we'll get this over. And instead of thinking about the things that we ought to change in our own lives, we're continually being so critical of one another and spending time in assessing one another that we find it almost impossible to let God really turn and change our heart. Revelation 11, 3 and 4. And I will give power to my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. The two witnesses are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to Jesus in the 16th chapter of John, was sent to reprove the world of sin, of its lack of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. That same Spirit is warning a generation through preachers who are trying to preach and teach what God says of that very thing today. And people's lives and hearts aren't changing. And this generation, instead of growing closer to God, is further apart. Revelation 11, 3 and 4, verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. This isn't something new. It isn't something sensational that was revealed only in the book of Revelation. God told all people through Zechariah, hundreds of years before Christ was born, that he would come. And he warned them of these two witnesses that would come, out of which would flow the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And the Word would go forth through all the world, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But people aren't listening to the Holy Spirit. Tonight I'm going to show you something in Scripture about the Holy Spirit I think you'll find very interesting. It has to do with this last day judgment. It has to do with what I'm preaching this morning. And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? Zechariah 4:12. And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? The two witnesses in Revelation are like two olive trees. The power of God's Holy Spirit, just like it lit up the whole temple inside of the golden candelabra, and the olive oil went up to empower the light so the world could see the light of the Lord. And this power of the Holy Spirit will go out through these two witnesses. As I've told you repeatedly, I believe one will represent the church, the other will represent Israel. And they will empty out the Word of God, the truths of God, to a lost and dying world. And he answered and said unto me, verse 13, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. They are the two witnesses of Revelation. And they preach in the spirit and power of the same spirit that empowered Elijah. These two witnesses will proclaim to the world the truths that Jesus' coming is finally arriving and that judgment is coming upon this earth. They are anointed of God, chosen of God, set apart by God, empowered by God, and they are the ones that stand by the God of the whole earth. Why do I believe they're Elijah and Moses? In Matthew 17, 2 and 3, we find the Lord giving a preview of coming attractions. He had told them in previous verses that there be some standing here which shall not die, which wouldn't leave the earth, which wouldn't die physically, until they saw the King coming in his glory. He gave them in the very first beginning of the next chapter with a continuous dialogue from the end of that chapter into Matthew 17, 2 and 3, a fulfillment, a preview of coming attractions to show them what he was going to look like when he came back. We find in Matthew 17, 2 and 3, And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. What did Malachi say? And the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And why did he use the word S-U-N? Because it is a picture of the coming of the Lord with healing in his wings. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and the raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. That's why I believe that these two witnesses are preaching by the Spirit and power of God's Holy Spirit. And they are preaching in the same spirit and the same power that Moses preached before the nation of Israel. And they are preaching in the same power and spirit that Elijah preached his message of repentance. Continually Moses and Elijah preached the message that God's Spirit laid in their hearts. And it was always a message of repentance. God's Word has always been a message of repentance. But today we have what is known as positive preaching. Don't tell them about repentance. Don't tell them anything that will make them feel bad. You just get up there and preach positive, preach positive, preach positive, and tell them good things, sweet things, smooth things. Make them feel good inside. But whatever you do, don't do anything that will make them unhappy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, judgment is coming upon this earth. Well, that's as far as I got this morning. The bell went off in the back. So I'm going to continue this general idea, because hearts aren't turning. The message that God sent through John and his son Jesus isn't being adhered to now. At first it was, but it isn't now. Lord willing, I'll be talking some more about that tonight, and I'll be talking a little bit about that in my message. So I'll give you all.